what happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed. Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
And we're live.
Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon and welcome to Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Riobe. And today we are live on October 20th, 2021. So we're live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and I welcome you. Our number here is area code 646-558-8656. And our meeting ID is 883-695-3587. And to raise your hand to either make a comment or ask a question, just hit star 9. We've been loving the questions coming in and the comments coming in, so please keep them coming. And today we're hoping to have a very engaging conversation. Our topic today is the myths of modern medicine. So we're going to be looking through the smoke and mirrors that has become our current sick care model. People always assume that this is an attack on allopathic medicine. Well, not everyone, some people. It's not an attack. It is simply a conversation. Our statistics are clear, you know, so if we're really going to be a science-based system, we do need to look at the science. And the science and these statistics are telling us that we are not doing a good job in terms of disease prevention. We are not even doing a good job anymore of preventing death from disease. And so we have to ask ourselves why. We can't just continue to go down a dead-end road and keep banging our heads up against the brick wall when we get to the end. We have to ask ourselves, what's going wrong? What's happening? A successful society is a society that asks questions and that looks at honest answers and listens from all sides. So when we look at our allopathic model, it's new. It's only been around maybe a couple hundred years. So it's the new kid on the block, if you will. And when it came out, its primary purpose at the time was to prevent death from infection. The number one cause of death at that time was infection. And it's really with the advent of the discovery of antibiotics by Dr. Alexander Fleming that the modern medical era really began. Penicillin was his discovery, and he made a famous quote, something to the effect of, I didn't discover penicillin, you know, I didn't create penicillin, I didn't make penicillin, nature did that. I just discovered it. And if we had stuck to that premise, we might not be in the boat we're in today, but instead of sticking to what nature provides, we went off on a tangent and began to artificially produce antibiotics and many other pharmaceutical drugs. And that is one of the primary reasons we're in trouble right now. So myth number one is not really about allopathic medicine in general. It is about our society and culture in general. Myth number one is that nature is broken and it needs to be fixed. That is a big premise in many, many industries, not just medicine, but we have adopted it into our medical paradigm. We think that, you know, things happen in nature that aren't supposed to happen. And so nature then gets broken and we have to run around and fix nature. We have to remind ourselves that nature, as far as we know, has been around for 4 billion years, and man has not been around for 4 billion years. Man only came on the scene a few million years ago. And so if nature really had a tendency to be broken and needed man to fix it, we wouldn't be here in the first place. We wouldn't have landed on this planet or ended up on this planet to run around fixing it. So this idea is fundamentally flawed, obviously, right? But let's assume for a minute that maybe it could be potentially true. If we were to assume that nature is broken and needs to be fixed, the next logical question would be, what broke it? You know, what is the root cause of the brokenness of nature? And if we really, really closely examine this question, we come back to one answer. You know, what's fundamentally wrong with nature is human beings, right? we're the ones that broke nature if nature is in fact broken. So if we're gonna go back and look at the root cause of an issue, we have to say, well, okay, when did nature really start to go off on a tangent and do crazy things? We would have to go back to the Industrial Revolution, right? And look at when we started spewing toxins out into our environment, ignorantly, unfortunately. We didn't know what we were spewing out into the environment. We just wanted to build factories and start mass producing things. You know, and again, the intention was not nefarious. We were trying to make people's lives easier, right? We were trying to make things simpler for ourselves. We were trying to make things cheaper for ourselves so that we can improve our lives. Unfortunately, again, when we decided to do that, we didn't really look into what we were doing. We just took the steps and then hoped for the best, right? And then people started dying left, right, front, and center. At the beginning, the dawn of the Industrial Revolution was a very toxic time in human history. There were people dying of all kinds of toxicities and other problems. And then we had to really introduce regulations in terms of what we allowed to be spewed out into the environment, what we allowed to poison our water, what we allowed to poison our soil and air. And then again, we can argue that we didn't go far enough. We can argue that we probably needed more regulations. So it wasn't a nefarious thing. It wasn't, something that was done with sinister intention, but it ended up being not the best thing for us. We have to begin to understand that when we want to improve our lives, the best way to do that is through nature, not by countering nature. So if nature is broken, the cause of its brokenness is us. And so nature doesn't need to be fixed. Nature can fix itself. Nature has an incredible way of fixing itself. It's built in. People of indigenous tribes, ancient systems of medicine understood this extremely well. They knew that nature had the cure for every potential disease that could occur in nature, every potential problem that could occur in nature. We're finding out that nature can even fix infections, you know, which is the main impetus for why modern medicine began. Ancient cultures have natural antibiotics. So penicillin is actually a byproduct of mold. And ancient Egyptians, thousands upon thousands of years ago, and other indigenous cultures used this byproduct of mold to treat infections. And so for whatever reason, it was lost. You know, this knowledge was lost as we disconnected from nature. But indigenous cultures still use these principles. The Druids also used these principles there. There is an antibiotic-like substance produced in soil that the Druids used, again, thousands upon thousands of years ago to treat upper respiratory issues that we are rediscovering today. In fact, there was a recent study that showed that this, you know, byproduct that's an antibiotic is, I believe it's an actual bacteria. And this bacteria makes things that kill other bacteria. And one of the things it kills are a lot of these so-called superbugs that we're all concerned about today. So because of the use of artificial antibiotics, and also the overuse of antibiotics, we now have massively resistant bugs. We have vancomycin-resistant enterococcus, methicillin-resistant staphylococcus, and other superbugs that we have concern about. And nature actually has the fix. So there was a study done that showed that this particular byproduct of soil is effective against these resistant bacteria. So I think we'll come back full circle to the understanding that nature is not really broken. We broke it, and if it's broken at all. And again, what are nature's fixes? When the temperature gets too hot, nature produces hurricanes to cool it down, right? We know that there are things when earthquakes are built into nature, hurricanes are built into nature. There's a reason for them. It's to rebalance itself. And so the real cure, if nature is broken, is either harmonize with nature or go extinct. Those are the two built-in cures of nature. And we know that nature does render species extinct. We've seen it before. We're seeing it now. In fact, many species are endangered, if not extinct already. And if this statistic is correct, it's very alarming, you know, that 90% of the animal species are either endangered or extinct. So this is a built-in fix that nature has within itself, when things are out of balance. And so we're kind of not far behind on the extinction list. So if we're not careful, these things will happen. How do you know you're going extinct, right? Well, the first thing that happens is your life expectancy starts to drop. And that is in fact happening. Something that's even earlier than that is you start getting sick more. And we know that's been happening for quite some time. These statistics are alarming. So one out of every two children before they hit adulthood will have a disease, a diagnosable disease. And this is produced by an allopathic pediatric journal. So we know that we're on the clock, time's ticking. So there are two fixes. It's either you harmonize with nature and get back into the swing of things, or you go extinct. That's how nature fixes things. So if nature is broken and we broke it, nature has a way of fixing that. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's why I wrote my book. We want to be around the next several generations, right? I won't be here forever, but I want my children and my children's children and their children, to have a livable planet. The planet will be here. We talked about that last podcast. The planet's not going anywhere. It's us who may or may not be here. And most of that is from the man-made pollution that we started spewing out over the past couple hundred years. So that's myth number one. Nature's broken and we need to fix it. Nature will fix itself. Have no fear for nature. What we should fear is that we may not be around to see how it fixes itself. So one of the things is harmonizing with nature. Again, we talk about getting the toxins out. There needs to be a huge consumer demand for cleaner products, and this occurs by every person taking the steps to not buy toxic products. So the first thing is to know what's toxic that I'm using and what's not toxic that I'm using. And every person counts, so every time we don't buy a toxic product and we instead buy a cleaner product, we are tipping the balance in a specific direction. And that matters. We all understand the butterfly effect, right? A butterfly flaps its wings and the effects are felt across the entire universe. So every time someone avoids a toxic product and buys a cleaner product, the effects are felt everywhere. And each person that does it, the momentum builds in the direction of having a cleaner planet to live on. So I think we have a question coming in. Question, I've been advised to avoid sunlight due to skin cancers. Is this because nature has been injured by pollution? I don't believe so. You know, when we look at the sun, you know, the people who are equatorial, you know, so the people that are genetically, if you will, from the equator, they tend to have darker skin. So that they can be exposed to the sun more. Those who are very fair skinned tend to be from more northern or southern latitudes where the sun's angle is not quite so direct. And so if you're fair skinned and you're living in Florida, for example, or the Caribbean, you know, you're a little bit endangered in terms of skin health. So the ultraviolet rays coming from the sun are what are harmful, that's known to cause cancer. So that's partly it. The double-edged sword with prevention of skin cancer is you have to be very careful about suntan lotions because they too are toxic and cause cancer, or at least we won't say they cause cancer. We'll say that they increase the risk of cancer when you add to it everything else that's coming in through your skin and through your nose and you know, through your mouth, et cetera. And so I think part of it is we're such a mobile community. We can live anywhere now. We can go anywhere. So we have to be careful when we're in areas where we're more likely to be sunburned to use, you know, sunscreen lotions that are organic and not toxic. So it goes back to the first point is we have to keep making these decisions to weed out toxic products from our environment by refusing to purchase them. And so I don't necessarily think it's from pollution, but the increased risk of cancer is from pollution. So I don't think it's the sun necessarily itself causing the problem, except if we overexpose ourselves. But all of the pollutants, I had this conversation with my dad all the time. Every little thing that you get exposed to increases your risk of cancer by 1 or 2%. So it's not the one thing that you expose yourself to that's going to do you in. It's the accumulation of the 1 and 2%, right? So every time you have dental x-rays, it's 1%. You have a CAT scan, it's 2%. You have a cardiac catheterization, that's another 2%. You know, if you smoke, that's 16%. If you use pesticides, it might be up to 10%. So when you start adding all these things, and it's, let's say you're using chlorine, let's say, you know, your cleaning products at home are not safe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Next thing you know, when you add up all those 1%, you end up with 300%. And your likelihood of getting cancer is extremely high under those circumstances. And that's where the sense of urgency to clean house comes from. You know, it's not commonly known that there's no one thing that's going to give you cancer. It's the accumulation of things, and that's what makes it dangerous because it's hard for people to feel the toxicity when they use the product, right? You use some soap, you slap some lotion on yourself and you go out and lay in the sun. You don't feel that it's toxic because it's not overtly toxic. It's just a little toxic. So you're gonna be okay using it. It's just as you slap it on week after week, or if it's makeup and you're using it day after day, that starts to add up. So I hope that answered your question. Wonderful question. Let's see. Hold on. There's another question. Hold on. Here we go. This is a soapbox comment is what they're saying. So, okay, great. I retired and I subscribed to one of the HMO providers. I swear they keep adding more layers to get approval for anything involving tests or even seeing a specialist, thereby preventing me from getting help before it's serious. Yeah, you know, that comes from the impetus to reduce healthcare costs, right? Healthcare is expensive. We all know that. One of the reasons it's so expensive is because we wait for people to get sick and then we try and keep them alive. That's a losing proposition. No matter how much money you start out with, you're going to run out before that person dies, right? We know that end of life expenses are the most expensive time in anyone's life. Why? Because we don't die well here, right? We die on 30 different medications in nursing homes, in the intensive care unit, because our, you know, healthcare system does not prevent disease. It waits for us to get sick, then it investigates, then it treats. And again, the way it treats is that it treats symptoms. It doesn't go and look for the root cause and naturally treat the root cause. So this is where bringing in integrative medicine, functional medicine, is so important, because that should be primary care. Our current allopathic medical model is not suited, and it doesn't. That is not what it does. It does not prevent disease. That's just period. If you look up the definition of if you look up internal medicine, so internal medicine is your typical primary care doctor that you go to, does your physical every year, gets your mammogram, does your blood work. That's an internist or an internal medicine doctor. If you look that up, what you see is that it is designed to diagnose and treat diseases in adults. Nowhere in the definition does it say it is designed to prevent disease, because that is not what medicine does. It does not prevent disease. So any society that doesn't look at prevention, people will get sicker and sicker and sicker, especially when there's pollution everywhere. We're the only country, one of the only countries in the world, of all the developed and so-called rich countries, that have such lax pollutant regulations. And so we're one of the most polluted countries in the world, which is why I laugh when people say, oh, don't buy from this country, it's so toxic. And I'm like, you're living in the most toxic country. You know? And so, you know, it's the pollutants that are the issue as well. So if you have a bunch of pollutants and you have a system that does not prevent disease, guess what happens, right? You get this mushroom cloud of diseases. People are sick everywhere. And we see this, you know, one out of every two children will be sick before they hit age 18, whether it's with autism, attention deficit disorder, asthma. You know, some children are getting hypertension in their teens, diabetes in their teens, heart disease in their teens. And so we have to really pay attention. 65% of Americans have more than one disease before they hit age 50. And so we've looked into what would happen if we started preventing diseases. The Milken Foundation, Michael Milken, did a report on this in 2007. He called it an unhealthy America. And he looked at the expenditures of being sick. They're astounding. And you can go look this report up yourself on the internet. It's readily available. 7 years later, let me go back to 2007. He recommended at the end that if we just did minor things to prevent diseases, we could pump, I think it was $6 trillion back into the economy in 40 years. And so 7 years later, they wrote another report called Checkup Time. And again, you can look this up yourself. It's on the internet. And they said, well, what have we done in the last 7 years? Nothing was the answer. And so we had done absolutely nothing to mitigate the escalating costs of healthcare. And it's very clear the only way to mitigate those costs is to reduce expenses by preventing diseases, not waiting for them to take hold. And so the reason why you'll see that there's a rationing of care now in the United States is because it's too expensive to keep diagnosing and treating diseases, but because the paradigm of our allopathic medical model is to diagnose and treat disease, and it does not have a mechanism in place to prevent disease, nothing's changing. Integrative functional medicine, holistic medicine, is all about preventing disease. So it's not that we have to reinvent the wheel with allopathic medicine. We just have to put it back in the box where it's best, and then use another system of medicine that already exists to do the other things, prevent diseases, you know, work on chronic diseases if they're not life-threatening, And then we reserve allopathic medicine for what it does best, which is save lives that are acutely in distress, right? Heart attacks. Allopathic medicine is the best at treating heart attacks, prevents death from heart attacks. Appendicitis, right? You need an acute surgical procedure or you're going to die, right? That's allopathic strength, is preventing death from acute life-threatening diseases. So we need to put it in that box and keep it there and then introduce integrative medicine. Now people say, well, integrative medicine is unknown. It doesn't have enough studies, but that's not true. In fact, it's been accepted as a medical specialty by the American Board of Physician Specialties. So back in 2014, they very quietly introduced the field of integrative medicine as a medical specialty. Just like a cardiologist is a medical specialist, just like a gynecologist is a medical specialist, a neurologist, so is an integrative medical doctor. So they're on equal footing with all of those other specialists, but it's just not well known. It's not in the media. So integrative medicine needs to be primary care. And until that happens, you will continue, unfortunately, to see this level of rationing because it's too expensive to continue to just do tests all day long and diagnose people with diseases and treat them, unfortunately. We've seen rationing in other countries. In Europe, you can't have surgery if you're obese, unless it's life-threatening. unless you stop smoking and lose weight, they will not operate on you. In Canada, they will not give you chemotherapy if you're 80. They don't care what cancer you have. If you're above the age of 80, they just point blank ration and say, sorry, we're not treating you. We will happily send you to hospice where it's much cheaper, but we will not give you chemo. We will not operate on you. So here we're actually very lucky that we don't see that level of rationing happening yet, but it's only a matter of time. So thank you. That's a great, great question and comment. Let's see. I think I had another one. I love my yard, yet my neighbor says I'm polluting the rivers because I fertilize my yard. How could my yard cause pollution? I think he's just being a bully. There are natural fertilizers. So I guess it depends on what, you're fertilizing your yard with. If it's, artificial pesticides, then yes, you are contributing to pollution. But if it's composting, things like that, then that would be more natural. So it all depends on what you're using to fertilize your yard or kill weeds with, So I refuse to use weed killer. I use, concentrated vinegar. It's 30%. My yard has more weed than grass in it, and I just don't care. But I won't put pesticides on my yard. My lawn crew knows don't ever put, any pesticides on her yard, in her backyard, none of that. People just know that's how I am. So, hope that answers your question. I believe Jesus heals. Sickness is from sin. Well, we have all kinds of belief systems on that. There are schools of thought that say that sin is a mistake, misthinking, as opposed to something we're branded with out of guilt or being evil, right? I believe at the heart of everything we would call evil is still good, because I believe that we are all made in love. I think love is the universal force that fills the entire universe. We know the universe is completely connected and everything in it is connected. And that motivating force is love. And that's becoming more and more evident based in science. In fact, there's amazing research, and I wish I remembered the name of this PhD. She's been researching since the 1980s, and a friend of mine brought her to my attention. She has been involved in research about whether human beings are innately good or bad. And she has concluded, as have many other scientists now based on research, that people are actually hardwired to love, and that we have to learn to hate. So hating and fear is actually a learned behavior. It's not innate in the human, you know, DNA, if you will. So I think sickness is, you know, and again, people can have their different belief systems, you know, it's not for anyone to judge. But, you know, we do cause our own illnesses in a sense, because we are also beginning to understand through science that we become what we think. And so if we have subconscious thoughts that maybe have been ingrained in us by authoritative figures of the past, whether it be parents, religious figures, teachers, you know, other school friends or whoever, we're beginning to understand we never forget anything. We may not be able to consciously remember it in the moment, but it gets stored in our subconscious mind. So every single experience we ever have, we remember, it goes back into our subconscious. So if your subconscious is playing back a fearful loop, that is informing your physiology, which is then informing your body to quote unquote be sick. I talk about that a lot in my book, Faith. You know, what is the true origin of disease? And what does true prevention look like? True prevention looks like fixing the subconscious thoughts, not fixing them, but allowing them to subside by coming to the realization that they're not real anymore, right? They are from the past, but we tend to hold on to them and play them back like they're still happening. And that's what creates disease ultimately. So that's a great comment. Thank you for that. Time for our commercial break. So, we are here live on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You are listening to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Ryobe, and we'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book, have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, "Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network." For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm Dr. Milene Ryobe, your host. And today's topic is the myths of modern medicine, looking through the smoke and mirrors of what has become our sick care medicine model. So I'm going to go to paradigm myth number two, is that blocking symptoms is the proper way to treat diseases. So we talked a little bit earlier about how the paradigm of our modern healthcare model is to diagnose and treat diseases, thereby preventing death. And that's the goal. The way that that's done is by blocking symptoms. So they figure if you don't have the symptoms anymore, then everything is fine. We know that that's not the case. It's simply that we have masked the symptom. If we don't actually treat the root cause will stay under the surface and it will resurface. And the reason why we don't make the connection is because it can't resurface in the same way because you just blocked it artificially. So your body's not stupid. It's still going to manifest the problem in a different way. So the reason it does that at all is because it's trying to defend you. It's trying to keep you alive. And that's the body's number one job is survival. So if it understands that there's a problem, it will try to fix it. That's the first thing. So your body is self-healing. It's self-surveilling, it's self-diagnosing, and it's self-healing. So the problems come in when we have introduced things that it can't self-diagnose and heal. So infections were a huge cause of disease because you have these foreign bugs, accessing the immune system. And if the immune system was weakened by stress, stress is the number one suppressor of immunity. Millions of years ago or hundreds of thousands of years ago, we had predators. We didn't know that bad weather was coming. So we had tribes fighting against other tribes. You never knew when you were going to be attacked. So stress levels were extremely high, which would then suppress immunity. And so it's no wonder that infections started killing people off. So anytime your body cannot self-diagnose and correct itself, it will send you a symptom. And that symptom will be basically, a cry for help. Because your body is telling you, hey, I have this thing I can't fix, so figure it out. And if we don't figure it out, it will just continue to decompensate. So one symptom will become two symptoms will become three, as your body starts to fail, because if it needs to do something and it can't do it, it's going to go to plan B. Plan B is always more expensive for your body than plan A. So in other words, plan A is the most efficient path for your body where it's going to expend the least amount of energy. In other words, it's going to expend the least number of vitamins, minerals, hormones, antioxidants to do the work. It's very efficient. So if plan A gets blocked, it will go to plan B, but plan B is a longer road. So it's going to cost more energy to go to plan B. And then if it has to go to plan C, that's even more energy it has to expend. So it's like you trying to get to California and you have the most direct path, but as you're traveling, there's construction or there's an accident or a roadblock and you keep having to go on a bunch of detours. Well, what's going to happen is you're going to run out of gas sooner. You're going to have to stop at the gas station a lot more often, or you won't ever get to California. It's the same thing in the body. You know, if your body has to keep, you know, finding its way through obstructions and having to go to plan Z instead of plan A all the time, it will use up too much energy. And then it will have to just shut off a bunch of what it would consider to be non-priority body functions. So the first thing people usually feel is fatigue. They're just tired because your body is expressing to you, listen, I don't have enough energy to do all this stuff. So please go take a nap or eat more. You know, cravings are another one. You know, and then other symptoms come, you know, or signs like weight gain, hair loss. All these things are signs that your body is struggling. And so it's up to us to find out why it's struggling, right? So people will say, well, let me go use some Rogaine for my hair loss. And then their hair will start to thicken and they think they've solved the problem, but they haven't. You know, what you've done is you've forced the hair follicles to make hair, but that comes at a price because you didn't fix the actual problem. And so now your hair loss may become another issue, may become high blood pressure, it may become diabetes, it may become something else. And that's why we see when a person gets sick with one problem, it usually dominoes into multiple problems because we don't treat the root cause in allopathic medicine. We just chase and diagnose and block symptoms. Your body has to tell you it's having a problem because it's a built-in survival mechanism that it will never, ever shut down. So if you just go and you take a diabetes pill to control your blood sugar, that's fine because we know that blood sugar is toxic. So you have to control your blood sugar, but you have to look at the root cause of the diabetes. And that's why we see that a lot of diabetics have shorter life expectancies. They have heart disease. They have poor circulation. You know, they can go blind. Why? Because the root cause of the diabetes is never sought and fixed. And so just taking a sugar pill doesn't prevent those other issues from happening because that wasn't the problem. You know, your blood sugar is high for a reason. So if all you do is mask that, your body is going to express differently to continue to tell you it's struggling. So wonderful comment. Let's see. Question. I've had two people die this last month. I'm sorry to hear that. Both of them commented on how they were going to die soon. One was fearful someone was going to kill them, and the other just was super depressed. Is there a link between our thoughts and our lifespan? No problem. Yeah, she says, forgive me. I haven't been able to listen fully to your show because the kids are home today. No worries at all. And my deepest condolences for your loss. We do become what we think, absolutely. And if people believe that they won't live to a certain age, then the likelihood of them living to that age is lessened, obviously. You know, we do become what we believe and what we think. And so having a positive outlook is extremely important for lifespan. You know, even things as simple as laughing, smiling, have been shown to increase lifespan. So again, you know, harmonizing with nature is harmonizing with positivity because that is the most natural state of being. You know, the research is becoming ever more clear that we are hardwired to be positive and loving, and we have to literally be trained and learn how to hate and fear. It is not an innate human quality. So as we harmonize more with nature, that implies that we become more positive and we become more loving, and that should increase life expectancy as well. Comment. Oh my God, you opened my eyes. Root causes ignored over and over, and now I'm a diabetic. Oh, yeah, yes. You know, and it's always better to learn it at some point than never. But yeah, we think, oh, diabetes is diagnosed through my blood sugar being a certain level. after I eat or fasting in the morning. And so therefore, if I just prevent that from happening, I have cured my diabetes. But unfortunately, that's not how the body's physiology works. You know, the root cause of the diabetes has to be looked at. Sometimes it's a liver issue due to toxins, right? The liver controls blood sugar. And so, you know, as does the diet, of course, right? If we eat too much sugar, especially the processed sugar that we have in our society today, you know, chances of diabetes are higher. You know, we're more sedentary today than we've ever been before. And so we can't really eat like our ancestors completely because we're not as active as our ancestors. So, you know, they may have been able to get away with eating more fruits and root vegetables and things like that, that we would not get away with today, unless there's something we're doing to burn those calories. So diet is extremely important with the prevention of diabetes. So is keeping the liver clean, because the liver actually controls blood sugar. You know, in Chinese medicine, the liver controls all blood flow. And what that means is it controls your cholesterol, it controls your hormones, it controls your blood sugar. Anything that gets released or restricted from flowing in the blood is controlled by the liver, according to Chinese medicine. And we see that in modern medicine, modern physiology as well. It's just not applied in our allopathic model. And so, you know, diabetics may need to do occasional cleanses, but again, under strict supervision, preferably by a board certified integrative functional medical doctor who understands diabetes, its root causes, as well as liver cleanses. You know, and potentially a lot of the damage could be, you know, could be reversed depending on how committed and aggressive you can be. But at least, you know, the continued damage would be lessened. And we know that is possible. So hopefully you can get the assistance that you need. Wonderful comments and questions. So perfect. Myth number three, normal blood work and tests equals perfect health. That's another one that definitely a myth. It's not true. When we look at the idea of doing blood work and doing what we would call screening tests in our allopathic model, they are not preventive by their nature. So when we get blood work done and it comes back normal, we make the assumption that everything is normal. Well, a few problems with that. Number one is we can't test for everything in the blood work. So we can't make the assumption that because your blood work is normal, you're healthy. Because we don't have the technology to test for every possible parameter in blood that would tell us about your health. So that's the main reason it's a myth. The second reason it's a myth is because your bloodstream does not tell you anything until it's too late. Because your body is smart, it's brilliant. Your body knows it has to keep your blood flow normal because your blood flow is what keeps your heart pumping. And so your body is not going to allow your blood flow and the things that are flowing in your blood to be grossly abnormal unless it has no choice. So that's why blood work's really good for diagnosing disease, right? It'll tell you when you're a diabetic, but it won't tell you why you're a diabetic, nor will it tell you that you're at risk for diabetes. So it's not prevention, it's simply diagnosis. A heart attack will tell you after you've had a heart attack, not before. It will not tell you if you're about to have a heart attack or why you had a heart attack. So in order for people to be deemed quote unquote perfectly healthy, all of their cells have to be perfectly healthy. And their blood flow has to be perfectly healthy. So if all you're looking at is blood flow and you're not looking at the body itself to determine health, you can't comment on health. And we've seen this a lot, unfortunately, in the past couple of years with COVID. So-and-so is perfectly healthy and they died of COVID. And my first comment is then so-and-so wasn't perfectly healthy. There's no way a healthy person can die of COVID. It's not possible. A healthy person doesn't really die of a heart attack either. We hear about these runners and marathoners and triathletes dropping dead of heart attacks. That's because they did themselves in through those activities, and their cells themselves were not healthy. And your body is going to keep blood flow going until it can't. And that's when you have a heart attack. And so your body will take from its cells to put in the bloodstream to assure proper blood flow to the best of its ability. When it fails to do that is when you have a heart attack or a stroke. The only time it will fail to do that is if it absolutely cannot, because there's nowhere to steal from anymore. And so that's why it's a myth. The other issue with our tests is they are not preventive by their nature. So a mammogram doesn't prevent breast cancer, it diagnoses it. A colonoscopy does not prevent colon cancer, it diagnoses it. A CAT scan does not prevent anything. It diagnoses those things. And so our entire paradigm is centered around diagnosing disease. And so we cannot say that because someone doesn't have a diagnosable disease that they're healthy. There's a huge spectrum between perfect health and disease. And we completely miss, the gigantic cavern that's in between healthy and disease with our allopathic medical model. What fills in the gap is integrative medicine and energy-based medicine, such as Ayurveda or Chinese medicine. They live in between normal and disease. That's where those systems live. And that's why they really should be our primary care model. So we do have to take another commercial break. We have to get two in. So thank you for listening. We will be right back and conclude our show when we come back. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Cat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and you're listening to us live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. So we only have a couple more minutes, but we had a question come in. What simple changes can I make to help stay healthy? Honestly, believed in diets that failed. So if this works, it has to be simple. Simple is always best. Unfortunately, our environment has made things not simple. So there isn't really a simple solution per se, but it does get simpler once you get over the hump, right? So there's this hump created by the fact that we're just inundated with toxins. And we've been taught pretty much all the wrong things about how to stay healthy. And so we have to unlearn those bad habits, relearn new ones. You know, simple breathing. We talk about heart math all the time on the show. Tons of research on heart math breathing. It's a 3-minute breathing technique. Can't get simpler than that. So breathing properly and getting enough oxygen into the system, and also turning off the fight or flight messages that we subconsciously send down into the body through our breathing. So breathing properly is probably the simplest thing. The second thing is really looking at what's in your house. And I know it's not simple per se, but looking at all the cleaning products, the lotions, the makeup, it's about just about anything you can eat, clean with, put on your skin is probably toxic. And so starting to really look at, if you're running out of something, looking up a better alternative and buying it when you replace that something. That's the only way not to get overwhelmed. So it's not a matter of throwing everything out and buying everything new. It's really a matter of consistently getting rid of the toxic things as they run out, and then having done the research of something better to bring in. One really good source that I recommend to my clients is the Environmental Working Group. They are an independent company that has done research on pesticide residue on foods, toxins that are in household products, and they rate them. And so it's just an easy resource to go to. They have an app that you can download on your phone. I think it's ewg.org is their website. So you can go online, you can download their app. When you're shopping, you just look stuff up and they'll give you a rating on the things that you're looking at buying. The other thing that's simple is to buy as much organic as possible and to avoid, in particular, fruits and vegetables and meats, making sure that those things are all organic so that you're not putting toxic things into your gut. So I think that's all the time we have for today. So thank you. These questions are always wonderful. I hope I was able to answer them. And thank you for listening here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Milen Ryobe, and you have been listening to Awaken Wellness. And we look forward to seeing you again. And until then, I send you many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milin is the medical director of the Rio Bay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobayintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.